You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Now, as the twilight's doubtful interval closes with night's accomplished certainty, a wizard wind grows, crying eerily, and in the glade unsteady shadows crawl, time to trees whose voices rear and fall, as with some dreadful witch's ecstasy flung upward to the dark, whence glittering free the crooked moon impended over all. Twin veils of covered cloud and silence thrown across the moment and sound of things make blank the night till the broken west, the moon's ensanguined blade while is shown. The night grows whole again, the shadows rest, gathering beneath a greater shadow's wing.
That's Godzilla. Yeah, I think that is Godzilla. You are in the Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. Yeah, that's the Real Paranormal Activity Network. And I like to thank every one of you besides Godzilla that happened to make it into the studio and hit that button and seeing what's going on in the world of dreams. This is your little host, your ghost host. This is Patrick Sean Jones. Ooh, yeah, he's just tearing up the place. And, what I happen to do tonight, or today, or whenever you're listening to this Phantom Cast on the RPA network, I brought you a writer, an actor, a director, and he's also a host of a show on the RPA network called Aaron's Horror Show. And this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, is Aaron Frail.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Aaron Frail.
Yes, the one and only.
The only other Aaron.
Because there's two. There's Aaron Hunter and Aaron Frail.
I think that confuses a lot of people. I think they listen to the Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, then they see on the list Aaron's Horror Show, and they think, wow, he's kind of a busy person. But no, this is Aaron Frail.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, go ahead.
It followed me, actually, my whole life. I do lots of errands in college. and we went by Aaron Cube. That's how many Aarons I knew.
Is Aaron, is that a real popular name?
I think so. At least, I don't know, maybe people around my age. I don't know how old Mr. Hunter is, but it seems like we might be around.
Well, I had to, so. I had to practice spelling his name right, so I am not the greatest speller. You know, Florida does not have the best in education, and that really surprised me. You had to put two A's for Aaron.
I know.
That's nothing new. Hey, give me some background upon yourself. What got you interested in the world of horror?
Well, I always loved it. I always loved horror. I always watched it when I was young. A lot of my background, honestly, when it comes to movies, is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right.
I love that show. They used to do 30 hours on Thanksgiving, and that was my goal, to watch all 30 hours. You know, like, most people were watching football or eating turkey or something, and I was like, okay, give me the turkey sandwich. I want to watch myself some MST3K, so... That's kind of where it comes from. I don't know. It's just something about because there's a lot of movies that in the horror genre that just aren't that good. They're, you know, a couple people get together, you know, film their friends or whatever, and they got a movie. And there's, I don't know, I'm a glutton for that kind of stuff.
What about your paranormal background?
Oh, yeah, like, you know, I've had some weird stuff happened to me as far as paranormal stuff. I had a friend who you know, committed suicide.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. It was a hard thing, because the night that he did it, he had invited a bunch of people over to his house to say they were, you know, going to watch movies, and he would call them. That was his, you know, specific instructions, that he would call them and say that they would all come over. And you know, the night that it happened, I, you know, never got a call, but I was also playing video games at the time, and I just didn't think of it, and later on I thought, oh man, he never called. And then I got this feeling of, like, everything's gonna be okay, like this really powerful feeling that everything's fine, don't worry about it. And I had no idea where it came from, because I was just thinking, oh, I missed movie night or something, you know. And it wasn't till the next day that everyone in that social circle had started reporting that same, like, really powerful feeling.
Oh, everybody felt it?
Yeah, everyone felt it. Yeah, so, you know, he was, I guess he was coming around to tell people it's okay. And, yeah, it was a tough time, and we all, you know, had to band together because of it. But yeah, that was kind of a stronger paranormal event.
Did you ever see anything personally?
You know, I saw, and this is kind of, I don't know, I take this one with a grain of salt, because I can't verify that it was a ghost, but, you know, so my family all comes from Chicago,
right,
where I was born, and you know, from what I hear, there was this brownstone where, you know, people, members of my family, owned all three levels, you know. So there is, like, you know, segmented off into three levels, three different apartments, and owned, or maybe they rented. I don't know what it was, but, like there's members of my family in all three levels. And you know, right next to that brownstone, it was at the very end of the block, so it was, like, the very last brownstone at the end of the block, and right in between that row of houses and then a row of houses on the other side, you know, so another row of brownstones, there was this wood, or not wood, but stone mansion. And so there was this, like, stone mansion in the middle of a bunch of brownstones in Chicago, and reportedly that mansion survived the Chicago fire, you know, one of the few buildings that did, because obviously it's made of stone, you know.
Right.
And so I remember as a kid visiting that brownstone, the one that was reportedly in my, you know, that my family was on all three levels. The level that I was on the second or third. I can't really remember which, but I was using the bathroom, and, you know, as we all know, boys stand up to pee, and I was looking out the window while I was doing that to the window of this mansion that was, like, you know, right across the way. Like I bet if you know, I was a little bit more precocious, I could have opened the window and jumped over to the ledge. That's how close it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember while I was, you know, using the bathroom, I saw this boy, you know, standing there in the window of the mansion. And he waved, and I waved back, and I didn't think anything of it. I, you know, finished up and then left and went and told my aunt, you know, what I saw. And she kind of looked at me with a, a scared look and said, "No one lives there. that house is abandoned. It's boarded up." And
so, how did you feel when she said that?
I was freaked out. I was like, "What the heck did I see? I saw a boy there. I clearly saw a boy, but you know, can I tell you that it was a ghost? I can't really. You know, it could be a boy that snuck into the house and was looking out the window. You know, like it was boarded up." But that was kind of on the lower levels. The upper levels weren't really, you know, there weren't boards on them, because obviously you'd have to, like, climb the stone to get up there, you know?
So have you ever experienced anything like, let's jump over to UFOs real quick, anything that you have experienced in that area?
Oh, I have a crazy story of, you know, so I was born in Chicago, but I lived in New Mexico, which, of course, if you ever saw the show Sightings, it came on right after X-Files in the 90s. If you ever saw Sightings, you'd be like half the stories are from New Mexico on that. You have, like,
right.
You know, the house hum, cattle mutilations, Roswell, all the stuff is...
All the good stuff comes from there.
Yeah, exactly. And so my friend and I... we had a buddy of ours that went to school in Laramie, Wyoming, which is about a 10-hour drive from Albuquerque, and we were on one of the many trips that we would take when my friend went off to college to go visit him up there, you know. And you know, I mean we were kind of a little bit crazy. We'd, you know, leave at midnight or something like that to go places sometimes, and I forgot exactly what time it was, but it was really late at night, like, you know, completely dark out. We were about 15 miles out of Raton, which Raton is the last kind of desert town before you get to the Colorado border, and it gets up into mountains pretty quickly out there. But so we were, you know, still in the middle of the desert, you know, and I remember 15 miles very specifically because I saw the, you know, Raton 15 miles or something like that. I saw the sign right before we saw this, but this bright object, you know, just came out of nowhere, and it was green and kind of like flared up and got really bright, and you could see the desert around us like it was daylight. That's how bright this object was. And I remember it very vividly because, you know, in New Mexico, you can get going pretty fast, 90, 100 miles an hour here in the middle of nowhere, you know? And I remember my friend was driving, and he, like, slowed down to maybe 35 miles an hour. But the funny thing is, like, there were only two other cars on the freeway, and they probably slowed down, too, because we were all going around the same speed, like, looking at this object, going, like, what is that? And I remember, of course, looking at that mile, that like Raton 15 miles right before I saw this, and we saw this big object, and it, like, you know, completely lit up the sky, and then it was gone.
Just like that, like a blink of an eye, it was boom, gone.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Super bright, and then gone. And then, you know, we were so kind of amazed by it. We, you know, my friend actually can probably tell you the time because, like, that night we were talking and we were able to pinpoint the time and the location because I saw a mile marker, you know, and he looked at the time right before it happened. And you know, using that kind of time mile marker thing, we went and we looked at all the reports and all the news and nothing. There was nothing about any meteorites or UFOs or anything. So we have no idea what it was, but it was pretty amazing.
So do you tie these into your stories that you write?
I sometimes do. I think there's a lot of myths and kind of legends in the New Mexico area, and there was one particularly that I wrote about, you know, the Day of the Dead, because I thought, you know, the Day of the Dead is just, you know, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, just type Day of the Dead into Google and click on images and just look at the artwork that comes out of Day of the Dead. It's like a festival down in Mexico.
It's actually very beautiful, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. I love the artwork that comes out of Day of the Dead. It's just amazing. It's just really this and really festive skulls is the best way to say it, and it's just really good. But you know, the actual Day of the Dead festival, I think it's around November 4th. I forget the exact day that it falls on, but you know what you're supposed to do with Day of the Dead is you make a feast, and then you leave it outside for the dead, for your ancestors to come and eat. And so it's cooking a big meal for those that have passed, and it's just such a beautiful ritual. Like I really like it, and so I did write a story about that. And you know, the premise of the story is, you know, someone's kind of in a cabin in the deserts of New Mexico, and she decides to celebrate Day of the Dead, and she, you know, wakes up the next day and finds out that somebody ate the meal.
Wow.
Yeah. So it kind of goes from there, like, who ate the meal? She thinks it's coyotes at first, but she realizes it's not coyotes, and just kind of goes from there, you know?
Have you taken some of your dreams and put them into your stories?
Yes. Yes, actually. So there's a sci-fi story that I wrote. It's collectively called the Turisticu Chronicles, but the first one is called Cal's Fall, which, shameless self-promotion, Cal's Fall is free on Amazon, so if you want to kind of look at that story, you can.
Plug,
yes, exactly. But Cal's Fall came from a dream. That particular, it's a sci-fi story, but it was a really vivid dream that I had once of an alien prison. And so I dreamt that I was in a prison, but all of the prisoners weren't humans. They were, you know, aliens of different shapes and sizes, and you know, more or less the creatures that appear in that story are ripped directly from my dreams, at least as much as I can remember, because I don't know, I have very, very vivid dreams. Like, because they're so vivid and so visual, I write them down as soon as I can, because, you know, whenever I get a good story out of them, I like to do it. In fact, the first story that I ever kind of sat down and wrote was another dream. It was a creature that lived at the bottom of a lake that very Cthulhu-like, with tentacles and razor-sharp teeth, and I had this weird sense that it was a hunting through time, you know, that it would modify the time stream to hunt someone down, so you really could never escape it, because it would just go back into the past and get you there, you know?
Well, what about your childhood? Did you have these same strong prophetic dreams when you were a child?
I did. You know, one of the things that really creeped me out when I was a kid was the guy from Poltergeist, that old man character. With the hat. Yeah, that guy. He scared the pants off of me as a kid. And I, when he would appear in my dreams a lot, and I could never escape him. He was always out to do me harm and all sorts of, you know, nightmares surrounding that character. And that was something that was kind of one of my first really, truly reoccurring nightmares. But, you know, it was also the time that I learned to fight back. Like, I remember the last time I dreamed of him. He was kind of walking through my backyard of the house I grew up in, and he was, like, you know, coming through towards the back, you know, screen or glass door that we had. And I remember realizing that I can move objects with my mind. And so I threw our grill at him, and then, you know, threw the table we had back there and all the chairs. And I just started, like, pelting him with objects, and he eventually, like went away. And that was literally the last time I dreamed about him and the last time I was afraid of him.
Well, actually, that's kind of cool. Did you know you were asleep when you started throwing stuff at him? Did you know this, or
No, you
thought it was still real.
Yeah. I thought that was real. I have tried to experiment with the idea of lucid dreaming, where you take kind of a regular everyday occurrence. Like, for example, if you're a smoker, and every time you light a cigarette, you say to yourself, "Am I dreaming? Is this a dream?" And just by saying this regular everyday experiment, you eventually will hopefully in your dream just wake up to the fact that you're dreaming and be able to take control of it. You know, and that's I have tried to practice that, not as much luck, and I think it's just because I don't necessarily like. Discipline myself in the waking hours to ask that question of myself with the regular tasks, you know.
Well, you were talking about the old man. See, he was also, for people that wonder, he was on the cover of an Anthrax album. That comes out with my DJ kind of knowledge, knowing that. You're talking about reoccurring dreams. Why do you think we have reoccurring dreams?
You know, I think it's kind of individual for the person. For me, I think it might, you know, like I think when it comes to dreams, you have to look inside and kind of think about yourself and how it relates to really find a meaning. Like, I'm not necessarily subscribing to like here's a book that tells you what a dream is. You know,
right.
You know what I mean? I think it's really personal, you know? But with that being said, as reoccurring dreams in general, I think there's something you have to figure out, and what that is very kind of, I don't know, individual, and what does it mean for you, you know? Like, as far as, like, that reoccurring dream, I mean, it happened, of course, when I was really young, so I think for me was, you know, learning that I had more power than I gave myself credit for, you know?
On the ratio of peaceful dreams and nightmares, what do you think you have more of?
I think I have a good mix of both. You know, and a lot of my stuff that might be nightmares for some folks kind of intrigue me,
right,
in a way that I don't have a huge fear factor anymore of those type of dreams, and they kind of in the dream itself I want to explore the situation, and sometimes they manifest in a way where I have power in the dream that the thing isn't necessarily scary. So like, for example, I had this dream that I was stuck on this kind of derelict space station, and these aliens were running around, kind of like from the movie Aliens. In fact, I think it was directly from the movie Aliens, you know, and they were after us. But, like, I had my friends with me, and we were all space marines, and we had the machine guns, and, like, we were taking them out left and right. And I remember another one of my friends, her face appeared on all the monitors throughout the space station to kind of tell us where to go. Like, she was in some sort of control room going, you know, take a left down this tunnel or something like that, you know? And I think, like, I don't know, being in the space station full of aliens that are trying to kill you might be a nightmare for most people, but for me, it was kind of fun, you know? Like, Like, that was kind of a, I don't know. So I you know, I think, you know, same thing, like being in an alien prison. Like, I wanted to know more about the place, and it stuck with me so much that I started writing about it in, you know, the waking world. And so I think that's, you know, like I do have stuff that would be considered nightmares, but they intrigue my storytelling part of myself more.
Right.
To, you know, dive into them and see what they're about and not really necessarily hold back, you know.
Well, what are you more excited of? Are you more excited of the waking world, or are you more excited of your dreamlands?
That's a that's a good question. I you know, I do like the waking world, and I think there's something to be said from it, but I'm also kind of more excited of the dreamland. Like, I kind of, in some ways, there's a part of me that wishes I can live in the dreamland as much as I live in the waking world, you know?
Right.
There's a part of me that wishes I can just spend the entire 8 hours, you know, being part of those dreams and seeing where they take me, you know?
Well, it sounds like you get a lot of you're an excellent writer, Aaron. Seriously, you're an excellent writer.
Well, thank you.
But
thank
I mean, it's like the new book that you're starting to write. Was it Every Time a Bell Rings an Elf Gets His Glock? Now, where did that come from?
that actually, okay, so that's a...
It's brilliant, dude. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant Christmas story. So
yes, yeah. It's basically taking, you know. Okay, so it kind of comes, you know, it kind of comes from Elf on the Shelf. So there's a Christmas toy called Elf on the Shelf for people that don't know it, and my nieces are really, really into it. They, you know, supposedly there's an elf that, you know, the parents are supposed to hide it somewhere else in the house, and the idea is that this elf, like, reports back to Santa about your naughty or nice behavior, you know, whether or not you've been good or bad. And I just thought about it for a few seconds, and I was like, you know, Elf on the Shelf, that's kind of like a dictator, like, you know, that's a spy kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's like he's literally watching you in your own house and reporting on your behavior to some, like, regime that decides whether or not you get benefits. You know, like, I was just thinking about, this is like total, this is like, you know,
sounds like religion, dude.
Government, you know?
Sounds like religion to me, so.
Yeah, or like North Korea, you know what I mean? Like, like, so I decided, like, well, what if this is kind of like North Korea and the elves, you know? So I decided to make a story about an elf that, like tortures and kills, like, bad toy makers, you know? So you have a toy maker that's, like, skimming off Christmas or like, stealing trucks full of toys from the kids or something like that. And I decided to make this elf that's kind of like the enforcer for Santa. So this elf, like, you know.
You know, this has movie all over it.
Oh, yeah. No. I would love it one day. It's kind of like, you know, Elf meets Commando, you know?
No, it's exactly that. It's like you hear the promo for this winter. It's Elf with a Glock, and he's not taking anybody's toys anymore.
I mean,
it's just crazy. Hey, we're almost reaching the end right here. I'm going to go into one of my normal questions here real quick. Living or dead, if you can meet somebody in your dreams, who would that be?
You know, my mom recently passed, and I'd have to go with my mom. If you're listening, I would, you know, when you're ready, I'd love to talk to you. And, you know, if I were to go with the person I've always wanted to meet, celebrity answer, I'd go with Douglas Adams, because that guy's my hero, you know, like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
One of the best books ever written.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Nobody ever really dies. Nobody really ever dies. So she's still with you, so don't worry about that. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Right now, what I'm going to do is I know you have your own chance, really, to say what you want on your show and just put out your heart and everything, but I'm going to put it on my show. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to give you this opportunity, because you know, as you have a show on the RPA network, that we have a listening audience all over the world. So I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let you go ahead and give people some of your heart real quick, Aaron, and go ahead and go.
All right. Well, I guess this is the shameless self-promotion. Aaron's Horror Show, if you haven't checked it out, you should come over and check it out. I read some of my stories, and I talk a little bit about movies. And then also, if you would like to support me, I have probably about over 10 books on Amazon. A lot of them are comedy, some of them are horror, some of them are science fiction, some of them are both. The ones that I would recommend that are up now are Orion. That's the one that people are digging. Also, Atmospheric Pressure, people like that one. And if you want more kind of straight-up horror, Playlist of the Ancient Dead, people, that one's a crazy one. And then I also was in a band called Spiral. It was a prog metal band. You know, thespiral.bandcamp.com. I think we have 10 albums, I believe. I'm still kind of in the band. We don't really actually, we never played a live show. We just recorded at my friend's house. And
don't worry, a lot of bands are like that.
Yeah.
I find that out doing radio and everything. How can I reach you, Aaron?
Yes. So at Aaron Frail, if you want to get me on Twitter, if you want to go ahead and go to my website, aaronfrail.com, there's actually a link to my mailing list on there. If you join my mailing list, a free book will appear in your email. Absolutely free. All you got to do is join the mailing list. And then, finally, last but not least, because we are on the RPA network, you could go to Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook, Aaron Horror Show on Twitter, or Aaron's Horror Show at gmail.com, and you can send me a message, and I will respond and say hello.
He will say hello. And don't forget, on Monday, you have Aaron's Horror Show. Well, you got me confused already. You got Aaron Hunter with Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. Yeah, he's going to yell at me. That's on Monday. That's with Aaron Hunter, the man of the hour, the man with the power, the man that's too sweet to be sour. And on Tuesday, yeah, you got the guy I'm just talking to right here. That's Mr. Aaron Frail. Yeah, hello. Let me say that name again. Aaron Frail. Every time a bell rings, an elf gets his Glock. Aaron Frail. He's going to make it rich making a movie. And on Wednesday, you have Mysterious Moments, or Terry's Mysterious Moments, with Terry from Texas. And he does like cryptoids and UFOs, and he's been doing hauntings and stuff like that lately in hotels. So go ahead, check that. And this right here, Sandman Lullaby, this is a Phantom Cast. That's whenever I get into the studio, I just go ahead and steal stuff real quick so nobody knows what I'm doing. And that's usually every other like Thursday or something like that. Aaron Duder.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, man. Hey, stay with me for a second, and I'm going to let you go in a second, but I'm going to let them go first, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for hitting that button, and why don't you go ahead and check out these other shows on the RPA network as soon as I'm done, because you have been in the Sandman. Oh, yeah. If you want to get in touch with me, that's sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. I'll spell it since I'm a redneck and we can't spell right. That's sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. Damn, Mom, I got that right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you very much. And you've been in the Sandman Lullaby. We'll be right back.